Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, Every Man Standing in His Place. Tonight we're going to be discussing power and purpose, but before we get started, we're going to have our awesome minister, Adam Tuggle, open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a song of praise. Minister Tuggle.
Amen. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you boldly to your throne of grace, Lord God, as you said in your word that we come boldly to the throne. Lord God, we come boldly to your throne of grace, Lord God, giving you glory, honor, and praise on tonight, Lord God. Lord, bless every word that is said, Lord God. Bless every comment that is said, Lord God. Bless this teaching on tonight, Lord God, over power and purpose, Lord God. Lord, lead us to our purpose through this lesson, Lord God. And Lord, give us that power that you would have us to have in you, Lord God, because we know that we can do all things with you, and without you, nothing is possible. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you to touch the teacher on tonight, Bishop Carver, Lord, and Lord God, we ask you just to bless every listener that is listening on this broadcast tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Too many have died. Too much hate. There's still hope for tomorrow. But something has to change now.
Not tomorrow, but today. Something must be done. What we see cannot continue. Our ancestors paved the way, and now it's up to us. We've been given trust to make a change. What kind of world?
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, Every Man Standing in His Place. And tonight we're going to be discussing power and purpose. And the reason we're going to be discussing power and purpose is because God has called us to lead, He has called us to reign, and He has called us to represent Him in the earth. And we have to operate out of the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in order to truly represent God. Unfortunately, many times, we are often convinced that there is another way to do things, a way that looks powerful, a way that looks appropriate, a way that looks religious, actually denies the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start tonight. Tonight is an open forum, so anyone on the line can call, can comment, but I'm going to ask us to speak to what we hear in the scripture and allow that to kind of guide the discussion, notwithstanding any specific requests or questions. But I'm going to start tonight in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, because when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, you have the power to do anything that God has called for you to do. And we know that what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39 is that we are to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we're to repent, turn away from serving sin in order to be saved. We know that according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, we're supposed to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life and our master. We're supposed to believe in our heart that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And we also know that according to Romans chapter 10, that we're supposed to call on the name of Jesus. But furthermore, we know that we're to believe what it says in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, that tells us to believe to speak in tongues and to believe to prophesy, because when you are saved, you have the power to operate in the supernatural realm, the fullness of all of the operations of the Holy Spirit, so that speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing are all within your power as you believe to operate this power that's within you. So I'm going to be reading tonight. In James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And the reason I wanted to read this first is because one of the biggest obstacles that we as men have in walking and representing God in the earth is fighting our pride. See, pride is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and it is the only thing that would lead you away from submitting yourself to God. And pride usually tells you that, oh, I've got to work this out myself. I'm running from the devil. I'm like, no, you're not running from the devil if you're obeying what it says in this verse. This verse says, if you submit yourself to God, then you resist the devil. The devil's going to flee from you. You're not going to have to run from the devil. The devil's supposed to be running from you. That's the power that you have. But what we so often see is something less than that. And the reason we see something less than that is because people they've replaced the power of the Holy Spirit with something less than. They have settled for something that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. So when you please people, pleasing people has a form of godliness, but it's not the same thing as pleasing God. Serving money has a form of godliness because people are happy when you're giving them money. But serving money is not the same as serving God. Leaning to your own understanding might look like you're trusting God, but that's not trusting God. That's trusting yourself. But when you trust God, then you don't need to lean to your own understanding. You can do what the Word of God is asking you to do in rejecting your own understanding, as it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And lastly, operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. This also comes out of pride because we have a tendency to want to do it ourselves when God says, hey, you know what? I wrought your works out within you from the beginning, and I have placed the Holy Spirit within you so that you can operate out of the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and stop relying on your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities, because no matter how strong you are, how talented you are, how educated you are, whatever it is that you have, it's limited. But the power of the Holy Spirit within you is unlimited. So God is asking you to deny what this form of godliness that denies the power thereof is and embrace him so that you can please him only. You can serve him only. You can trust him only, and you can operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit because that's what he's given you to do, what he has for you to do. So I want to open up the discussion tonight with Minister Tuggle and simply ask you to chime in on exactly what you see in terms of God's power and purpose for our life relative to this passage in James chapter 4.
Well, first off, like you said, Bishop Carver, we cannot rely on our own strength. That's the first thing. And brings me to a scripture in mind, and it says in Colossians 3:17 that whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And another scripture that comes to mind is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. When we walk in our own way or our own thoughts, we're not going to fulfill God's agenda for our life anyway when we're walking in our own flesh or in our own thoughts, because the Bible does clearly say that our ways are not his ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So when we do that,
amen,
when we're not following God's agenda, we're going to fail anyway. But that's where to get us to the power that God has for us so we can resist the devil, or to get us to the purpose that God has for us, we must follow Christ. And the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. So we
Amen.
Have to be led by Christ into what our purpose is. We have to be shown how God gives us power, how the power works, how we use that power that God has given us, and it's all found in the Word of God. And
Amen.
if we do not do it God's way, we're doomed for failure, and we're not going to get to our purpose. We're going to be like the children of Israel, where when they were when they were traveling in the wilderness, they traveled in the wilderness for, I believe it was 40 years, where it only
yes.
took them, where it should have only took them a week.
Well,
journey.
11 days. 11 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 11 days. And so they, well, two week in a day journey took them 40 years, all because
mm-hmm.
they did not follow the purpose that God had for them. And also, we have weapons to follow in the purpose of where God wants us to be. We have prayer. We have fasting. We have the word of God. We have praise. We have all these different weapons. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds,
amen.
When we walk in our own flesh, we're in a stronghold. Believe it or not. Believe it or not, when people start walking in their own agenda, or they are in their own thoughts of the way they think God wants them to do it, you're in bondage. And you might
amen.
Say, well, Minister Adam, how am I in bondage when I'm doing it? Because you're doing it your way and not God's way. If God
preach.
Is weak, sometimes God tells us to go left and we're going right. And I use this all the time. God in our life, and I'm not saying God is that, but it's kind of like that with the journey that God has us on. If we look at a car, if we're riding in our car, what do we use? We use a GPS, right, to get us to wherever destination that we don't know how to get there. We use a GPS. Everybody has a GPS on their phone. We use that Google Maps. And you follow that to a T, it'll get you to your destination.
Right.
It'll tell you sometimes it'll tell you when there's an accident. It'll tell you of a road closure. It'll tell you. Well, God is that GPS to get us to our purpose. And when we follow the GPS of God's purpose, when we follow God's purpose, that GP, I don't know what the S stands for, God's purpose is for our life. There you go. When we follow that, then we'll get to that destination where God wants us to be. But when you start going off towards the left and he didn't tell you to go left, or you start going toward the right and God didn't tell you to go right, you're going to be longer. And if you look at a GPS, if you go the opposite way of where the GPS tells you to go, the time changes. The destination, the time of where you're supposed to be at, that time will change. And it'll be longer.
Yep, it's going to increase, right?
But if we follow the purpose and the plan of God with the power of God, and if we use that power correctly, we'll get to our destination in our purpose.
Amen. You know, one of the things that makes me think of is how God has said and I think of where you were going with that acronym, the GPS, right? It's like God's
yeah.
purpose in the spirit. Think about it like this, because it's really
yeah.
us being led by the spirit. And it says that when we're being led by the spirit, that we have to please God. We will please God when we are led by the Spirit. And see, when
right.
we're not led by the Spirit, that means we're leaning to our own understanding. We're trying to please people and do what they say. We're trying to serve money, and then we're trying to lean to our own understanding and figure it all out ourselves, because somehow we think that we can do more than God can do through the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where
mm-hmm.
we just have to get out of our own way. But as men, we have been raised to do it ourselves whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's been your experience, but I know culturally, they tell
it
us,
has.
You can't cry, you got to get it done. And if you get knocked down, get back up. And if somebody smacks
right.
you smack them to the ground. That's
right.
how we were raised. And
right.
so now, if we're honest about that and say, you know what, I have to learn to not rely on myself, because when you rely on yourself, you're not relying on God. You are taking God on the side, and God is not going to accept you having him as your backup plan. God
right.
is asking you to trust in him and understand that only he knows the past, the present, and the future. Only he has
right.
the power to combat any opposition
right.
that you face. Only he has
right.
the power to really deal with those things that you don't even know are problems that are coming yet.
Right.
But somehow well, not somehow, most of our life before we're saved, we were raised to do it ourselves and get the job done and not make excuses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wanna look at a verse that makes me think of this. But go ahead. You sound like you were gonna say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say this real quick. I like what you just said, because a lot of us as men, and I know this is a show for men, but some women do this too. But it's mostly men that do this. When you refer to the Spirit of God, we tend to be our own stumbling block. And usually I hate when people say this, I'm talking about people that are out of church or outside of the will of God. They say, well, once I get myself together, I'll start coming to church.
Mm.
Well, if you could get yourself together, you would need God. That's the first thing.
Preach.
And the second thing is that if you could get yourself together, God wouldn't have had to die for the sins of mankind. Because the flesh of God did not want to die. He didn't just get up on a rugged cross just because, okay, I love pain. No, he got up there for a purpose. And if you could fix yourself, Jesus wouldn't have to die. That's the second thing. Third thing is, and I'm going to say this real quick, is that the fact is us as men, most of us as men, we tend to, okay, we don't want God's help at first. When we mess things up, when we don't do it his way, when he sets the agenda before us, man, I want you to do this. And I'm using myself. Adam, I want you to do this. And I don't do it his way. I'm like, God, you know, this way I start out doing it his way. And then it takes, and I'm feeling in my life, you're taking too long, God. You're taking too long. So I'm going to move you out of the way, and I'm going to fix this myself. And most men, they do it like this. They move God out of the way, mess it up, and then they're ready to call on God to fix it. And if you had a step back from the very beginning, you wouldn't be calling on God to fix the thing. And I'm not judging anybody when I say this. I've done it myself. But this is what we do as people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop and just think about the power that God holds and the power that God can give us if we allow him to work in our life. I'm done.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? It makes me want to go to Romans chapter 8. And if we go to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read from verse 26 down to verse 30. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So for us as men, we don't need to do it ourselves, because the Spirit is there to help us in our weaknesses. And so even not knowing what to pray for, right? But then to know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So that's going to be the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly, right? When you're really trusting God, you're not concerned about what's going on. All you know is that it's all being used for your good. And so you have to let that happen. You have to trust that God is going to do what he said. But the only way to be able to do that is to know that you're called according to his purpose. And then his purpose becomes your purpose, correct?
Amen. What here's the key. Here's the key right here. Our life is not our own, whether a person's saved or not. And we got scripture to back this up. Whether you saved or not, your life is not your own. This goes for man, woman, boys, and girls. Every person that liveth on the earth now, your life is not your own. And it is under God's purpose that you are here for a reason. And I don't know who I'm talking to today or tonight, but it is God's purpose for you to be here. That's why we can quote Romans 8:28. At the end of that verse, it says God's purpose. It's not our purpose.
Amen. Amen.
And our lives are not our own. We were bought with a price. He shed his blood for us to be able to live life in general. Because John 10:10 says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, and the reason why we can say our life is not our own and it's for God's use and purpose is because when God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, man became a living soul. So it's not even our breath that we're breathing. It's God's breath that we're breathing.
Amen.
So that shows you right there that our life is not our own. The Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Why? When God says stop breathing, that's when we stop breathing. When God says keep breathing, that's when we keep breathing. And so our life is not our own. We're not here by happy chance nor just train of thought. We're here for a purpose. Now, you might have, and I like what Bishop Carver said, you might have a destiny set for your life. But if it's not lined up with God's destiny for your life, look, and I tell my wife sometimes this. I say, and we can use this in spirit. Sometimes my wife will come to me and be like, "We need this, we need that," and we may not have the money for it right then and there. And like I tell her sometimes, I say, "Babe, look, if we ain't got the money for it right now, we don't need it right now." And she'll look at me like I'm crazy. I say, well, if we don't have the money, we don't need it right now because God ain't blessed us with the money to get it right now. And until God blesses us with the money to get it, we can't get it. And that's the same thing. Yes, sir.
I want to share something with you, though, that I think is going to help. Because one of the things that my wife and I have learned over the years, and we've been married now for... I believe it's gone on like 34 years
yes,
or so.
Help me.
Oh, it can be done, young man. It can be done. But what I've learned is that when we come into agreement on anything, mm-hmm. it happens. Mm-hmm. And there's a verse that says, you know, can two walk together except they be agreed? But then there's also another verse that says anything that two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst, and whatever you ask, it shall be done, right? That's Jesus Christ who speaks this, right? And so what Vanessa and I learned is that when we come into agreement, it doesn't matter if the money is in the account or not. It doesn't matter because God can get what you want to you without money. God, it's some knowing that you have a need, that you have a request, and then God says, hey, you know, he will send those people to you with what you need, but you have to believe together. And what I found happens is when we're not in agreement, it means one of us is in belief and one of us is unbelief. And so we cancel out what we say we want because somebody's leaning to their own understanding and somebody is speaking in faith and you're canceling out the blessing that you both really want. It's just somebody's not believing. You're not united. You're not in one mind, right? So what I've learned to do when I realize it's not me in unbelief, when it's somebody else in unbelief, right? What I've learned to do if I really, really want something is just start speaking in tongues to myself and then watch God intervene. And what God will do is, and it might happen immediately. Sometimes it takes a few days. Sometimes it takes a few weeks. But eventually, my spouse will come around and we will be in agreement. And then what couldn't happen will happen. And it's amazing to watch. It's amazing.
I understand what you're saying. And I get what you're saying. And I fully agree with what you're saying. The thing that I was saying was, it wasn't that we are not in agreement with one another. And I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, because it's not. Because you must, the Bible does say, how can two walk together except they agree? And that doesn't just exist. That scripture doesn't only go for marriage, but it goes in life, especially if you're walking in a relationship with Christ. But some people, and this is where I was getting at, some people will try to have their own agenda, have their own destiny planned out for them, and they'll ask God for things, and not even consult God for it.
Right.
And they'll wait for it, and they'll wonder why it's not coming. And that's why I said, if you don't see it coming yet, now, not saying that God can't do it, not saying that you're in unbelief, but sometimes God says, sometimes no can be your blessing. And we hate, as men, we hate to hear the word no.
The same way we hate to hear the word wait, right? We hate to hear the word wait. We hate to hear the word no.
Those are the two words. Walking with Christ is hard to hear, and we hate hearing those two words, wait and no. But my brother said this in a Bible class or in a Sunday school class one time. He said, sometimes when God says no or wait, that is your blessing right there.
Right,
because
right,
had
right.
God blessed you, had God blessed you with it when he said, wait, you might have messed up your blessing because you're not ready for it. Or if God said no and you get mad at God, because there are some people that are dumb, and I'm going to say it, that are dumb enough to get mad at God, because if you get mad at God, you're dumb. And I'm just going to point blank say it, because that's crazy to do. But some people get angry with God because he said no on a thing that this person wanted, and not knowing that God has something else better for that no. But we can't get the concept of, okay, God said no, and we don't think about why God said no. We just look at the word, okay, God said no. But we don't think about it.
Sometimes God is trying to get glory out of our situation, and we want it our way, right? And I'll give you a perfect example of me being dumb, okay? This was an example of me being dumb. I had had my own office for about 10 years, and after 10 years, the place where I had my office, they lost the building to the bank. There was an economic collapse, and so I had to go home to my home office after 10 years of having an office. And it was embarrassing because I was working on one of the largest projects I'd worked on in the history of the company. And so I was doing like this $4.5 million job out of my house with the kids in the background and all the rest of that stuff. And it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. And I was really literally experiencing a level of depression, because after work I would just collapse. And then I found that what was really going on was I was mad at God. I was mad because I said, how could you take me out here and put me on a public platform, have me doing the biggest project ever, and then send me to my house to do it? And God was just in the business of getting more glory and making it clear that it wasn't me doing it, that it was him doing it. And after I survived that experience, God was able to show me, hey, you know what? I prepare your table in the presence of your enemies. So it is in the presence of all the obstacles and the opposition that you're going to see the greatest dimensions of God, just like Job. After Job's affliction, he was able to say, oh, I knew of you before, but after I experienced my affliction and you restored me, now I know you. And that level of knowing God requires you to experience loss, requires you to experience hurt, requires you to do things in the presence of your enemies. And part of you wants to pray for your enemies to go away. But if you know the word, you know that that's not the deal. The deal is you're getting glory for God by doing what you do in the presence of your enemies.
Right. And I, and you know what? It takes me back to a time in my life where I talk about this a lot because it's so dear to me that I will never forget it. When I was going through my heart problem, and at the beginning of it, I was asking God, like, okay, why? And I never was angry with him. I'm not going to say I wasn't angry, but I was more disappointed because here I am, I'm serving you and all of this stuff. Why am I going through, why would you let it go down the way it went down with my heart problem? Like, my doctor at that time, my doctor told me, well, it's the after effects of your open heart surgery that you had when you were like 4 and 5 years old. And here I am, 18. I was 18 at the time. So this after effect subsided and waited for like 13 years, they said, like 13, 14 years. Now, how did it subside for 14 years? The doctors still don't know why the after effects of my open heart surgery subsided for that long and just all of a sudden just popped up out of nowhere. And I just started having chest pains and breathing problems out of nowhere. And I asked God, I kept asking God, but why am I going through this? I'm like, God, I'm serving you. I'm going to church. I'm preaching and I'm testifying and I'm living for you. What, why? Like, did I do something wrong? And as God is my witness, he did not answer me. Sometimes God, when we go through the problems or trying to get to the purpose that God will have us to go, I said that to say this, sometimes God will not answer us until either, now he will answer at the beginning, middle, or end. Now we do know that. But he didn't answer me until the end, until after everything was over.
Right.
And all the time I kept asking him, and he didn't heal me. I never asked God to heal me. What I didn't look at the problem. I looked at the fact that, hey, God, with me having this problem, I can't give you the praise like I want to. See, when we go through the process of getting to the purpose that God has for us, when we go through the process, we can't look at the process. We got to look to what God is trying to take us. And you might say, well,
amen.
Isn't that looking at the process? No. You got to see where God wants to take you. You got to ask God, why is this going on and why am I going through this? And if God don't answer you until the end, still praise him. You may not be able to give him the praise like you want to, because I wasn't able to give him the praise. Like my former pastor, she would tell me, look, baby, I understand you want to praise him, because I'm a praiser by heart. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a praiser. I will praise the Lord at the drop of a dime. I'll praise him in my house. I'll praise him at church. I'll praise him on the job. I'll praise him at school. I'll praise him anywhere. Out on the street corner.
Amen.
But I couldn't praise him like I wanted to. And I was asking, well, God, why? Why can't I praise you like I want to? And he healed me because I said, Lord, if you just let me just praise you just once in the middle of it, I don't care if it's for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I just want to praise you one time. And he didn't heal me in the middle of a church service.
He
healed me in a choir rehearsal. He healed me during a choir rehearsal at my former church. In the middle of a choir rehearsal, the Spirit took over that choir rehearsal. Everybody was praising the Lord, speaking in tongues, and we was praising the Lord just everywhere. We were singing a song, How Excellent Is Thy Name. And the Lord, and I felt God's hand touch my chest. I felt a hand go over my chest.
Right.
And he said, you praise me, and I'll bless you. And I felt it, and I heard the devil in the back of my mind say, if you praise him, if you give God praise, you're going to drop dead. You're going to drop dead right here. But I said, and I made up in my mind, and this is the way we need to make up in our minds to get to our, to get to where God wants us to be. That even if I told the devil, well, if I drop dead, I'm going out of here with a praise. That was my determination to get to where God wanted me to go.
You know,
and
that
God
was
allowed
one
me
of
to praise him. Amen.
That
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's an awesome testimony, because that was one of the things you said earlier tonight, was how God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And a lot of times we are like our children are with us, is we'll tell them not to do something, to do something. We'll say no, we'll say wait, and they will react to us the same way that we react to God. And I believe God gives us children to show us what he's going through with us many times. And you know what I mean? And so it's like, I think you were more accurate about saying we weren't necessarily mad at God. We were disappointed. But I think the emotion you experience when you experience a no or a wait is you're mad. Sometimes if you're honest, right? Disappointed and mad, right? But look at what it says here in Joel 2:25-26. It says, and I will restore to you. This is God talking to his people. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. But see, what they're seeing here, what you're reading here, is that God saying, I'm going to restore to you the years that the locust ate and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. But then he says, they were my great army, which I sent among you, right? A lot of times we accuse the devil of taking stuff away. And God is saying, hey, this is all mine. And I'm the one who chooses. And he says, God says, all of my children are scourged. So if you're not scourged, if you've not been rebuked and chastened and corrected, it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. It says, if you are not scourged, you are not his child, right? So what is it that you want, right? If you want to be blessed, are you prepared to sit at the table in the presence of your enemies? A lot of people say they want to be blessed, but then they're like, oh, but I don't want to go through all that. Then you don't want to be blessed.
Oh, my God.
And on this show, we can say, be a man, right?
Right. Well, Bishop Carver, you hit it right on the head, because when you said that people want to be blessed, it's just like, okay, my, and I love all three of my children. And my children don't like doing homework. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think no kids like doing homework, classwork, especially in the age that we're living in now.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to get the good grades. They want the, you know, the college education. And like I tell my students at my school, I tell them, you know what? We got our education. We got our degrees. We got our high school diplomas. You need to get yours. And the way you do that is that you do the work. The Bible
Amen.
Says faith without works is
dead.
You can have the faith all you want to that God is going to bless you, but until you put in the belief, faith is belief, and belief is an action word.
Right.
What you believe, you're going to act upon. And you're going to act on, see, I taught on faith one time, and it was faith believing, faith in action, and faith given.
Right.
Okay. This first, you have to believe the word of God. Faith believing. What you believe, that's where Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 come in at, where it says, confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. Well,
right.
How can you confess something if you don't believe it? How can you confess something that you have not tried? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that, what, trusted in him.
Right.
That's putting your faith in action. Putting your faith in action. But
and
we,
you know,
as men, oh, Jesus, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, Jesus.
No. You were right in the middle of a thought. Go right ahead.
We as men, we have the faith that God can do it. And we're supposed to have the faith. But faith alone without the works is dead. We have to put
right.
some action in the middle of that. We have to put some, okay, God, I believe you, so I'm going to praise you for what you're getting ready to do. And that's the thing. That's the thing I was saying earlier. I never doubted God to heal me, but I just wanted to praise him. And I never got my answer until the end. And God told me why I went through it. And I'm going to say it. God told me the reason why I went through that was for somebody else. Somebody else
right.
is getting ready to go through this, and they needed to see my glory on your life. They needed to see
right.
that I could work in your life, so that they know that I will work in theirs.
Amen.
And a couple months later, the individual went through it, and the individual came to me and said, I watched you, and you never complained. You
right.
never uttered a groan, but you went through it as a strong soldier. And just because I'm me watching you, I know that God can do it for me. So sometimes
Amen.
When we go through the hurts, when we go through the pains of life, to get to the blessing that God's got for us, we have to go through the pain. We have to go through the hurt, because that hurt and that pain prepares us for the blessing that's coming. We cannot get to the blessing without the pain, without the struggle. When there is no test, there is no testimony.
Amen. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of this. I saw this image yesterday on what's called Moving Art. It's a TV show called Moving Art on Netflix, and it was showing these big tropical fish in the wild swimming around, and in the midst of these beautiful big tropical fish, there were these two huge sharks, and you could tell they were just huge because they had their food swimming around them, right? And you ask
mm-hmm.
yourself, wow, you know what? Maybe this is what is going on. Is God has provided the food for the sharks, right? But he's also allowed these fish to know that, hey, you know what? Yes, the shark is around. Yes, the predator is there. But no, the predator can't eat you until it's your time. So everybody has to trust. And just because the fish is there doesn't mean the shark's automatically going to get a fish. Have you ever seen those wildlife shows where the lion is going after the wildebeest and then the wildebeest attack the lion and the lion doesn't catch the food or doesn't manage to get it all the way to the ground and kill it? It's like, you know, everything is in a 100% reliance on God. And this is what God says to us in Isaiah chapter 43 regarding adversity. He says, thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And what God is saying is, you can trust me. And when you look out in life and in nature, everything has to trust God. And a lot of times, we got to get realistic about the fact that our enemies are always going to be around. The tax man isn't going anywhere. In the United States, racism isn't going anywhere. Classism isn't going anywhere. Sexism isn't going anywhere. Yep. All these things, if you're economically challenged, that's not going anywhere. Your car is always going to be something you're going to have to deal with, right? And whether it's new or not. And so my thing is, challenges are a part of life, and we have to learn how to meet those challenges by trusting in God. And that's the kind of thing, as men, that until we learn that lesson, we're going to be banging our head up against the wall, because we're going to be trying to be like that guy in the Bible who stored up everything in the storehouse. He put it all in his barn, and he's like, I have everything I need for retirement. Now I can just take it easy. And God said, you fool, this day your life is required of you. And so he spent his whole life gathering up all this stuff with the big plan of taking it easy, only to find out that it was the end of the road, right? So trusting in God is part of God's plan. It's not supposed to be perfect. It's not supposed to be easy. But see, you know how the devil traps us into trying to do it ourselves, or at least pretend that we're doing it ourselves, by getting us to put on this show for people, which causes us to please people and put more energy into trying to please people than trying to please God, who sees everything, right? And then we go ahead and do the same thing, trying to serve money, saying, well, if I get enough money, and if I give enough money to these people, then they'll be happy, and that'll give me a certain place at the table, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to serve God, because God owns everything, and whatever I need, God has to provide, because I'm a soldier in his army. You know, something you've never heard of is a soldier having to pay for his own weapons, or his own transportation, or his own training, or his own food, or his own clothing. All of that stuff is paid for by the army in which you serve, right? So if I'm serving God, then everything I need must be provided by God to do everything he commands me to do. And I understand what God commands me to do is not optional. And so in our mind, when we renew our mind to the word, we have to be men. and then say, you know what, as it pertains to this business with God, I understand that what God tells me to do is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something for me to go take a straw poll among my friends and family and my fellow parishioners and see what they think about what God said. Either God told you to do it or not. And if God told you to do it, you better go do it. And understand that it's God's responsibility to give you the provision. So if God told me to go to France, God has to get my passport renewed, has to give me the airfare, has to make accommodations for me, but I just got to get up and go. I got to do whatever's required to get there if God said go to France. and minister, right?
Well, you know, I'm loving what you're saying because I just heard a sermon last Sunday about the rich man who built up his treasures and was putting them in barns and then getting other barns. And the title of that message was The Life of a Fool. The Life of a Fool. And that's the title of this bishop's message, The Life of a Fool. And you know what? Us as men, we have the power to speak. Whether you saved or unsaved, you have the power to speak over your life.
Right.
Now, it's greater when you have God on the inside of you to speak over your life, because then you'll have the wisdom enough to know what to speak over your life and what not to speak over your life. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, death and life lie in the power of the tongue. That gives us authority to speak over our lives.
Amen.
It does. It gives us authority, whether you saved or unsaved, because I've heard people say, well, I'm going to have a bad day today. Man, everything is messed up. Everything is just going wrong. Well, you speaking it. I had to tell somebody on my job a couple weeks ago because they were talking about they messed. And like my former pastor used to say, when people come to me with a mess, oh, I got this going on and I got that going, they not venting, as the world calls it, but they trying to drop they slop gut on you. Look, I tell them I am not a human garbage can. I don't have to take your mess, and I don't have to hear your mess because it brings people down.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it brings people down. And so when we go through the problem, we spend too much time exalting the problems of our life instead of exalting the God of our life.
Right.
We take too much time to exalt the problems. We're praising the problems more than we're praising the Creator. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is that power? That power is for you to be able to speak over your problems, to speak
Amen.
Over the issues of your life and tell your issues to back up.
Amen.
And this is what we have to do as men. We can tell
now,
that mountain be down removed.
Right.
Jeez, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You know what? And here's the thing, is you made me think of one of the most powerful testimonies that I have, because this is just real. I was, actually goes back 30 years. So 30 years ago, I was in a position where I was pleasing people, I was serving money, I was leaning to my own understanding, I was operating out of my own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And when you're a young man, you got a whole lot of power, a whole lot of energy, and you want to do everything you can, and you live like life is it's not going to last as long as it is, right? Well, I would get up every day, and because I was raised as a fighter, I was raised, everything was a fight, it was a fight, it was a fight. And so I would get up and the first thing I would say is my life is hell. I would say that. And then I would get ready for the day, get in my fancy car, and then I'd plug in some rap music that reaffirmed what I said when I woke up. My life is hell. And then I'd get in all these confrontations. And, you know, my intent was to prevail. I wasn't fighting for nothing, but it was all negative and everything was a fight until I met the fight of my life, which was after 7 years of marriage and 3 kids, I'm getting a divorce and then watching everything I built torn down to rubble. And so I was in that place where I had to humble myself. I was being humbled, and God was chastening me, and he was scourging me, and he was correcting me and reproving me and all of that, because he needed to get me from where I was back then of pleasing people, serving money, leaning to my own understanding, and operating out of my own limited strengths and abilities and talents. Mm-hmm. And he needed me to be what he was going to make me to be. And I had not mm-hmm. yet, it was like he had a plan that was 10 times bigger than what my plan was. And so after he got done dealing with me, after that whooping in the sky, I was remarried to the same woman that I divorced. We had three more kids. I started my company that I still have, that I've had for the past 26 years. And now I have 10 grandchildren to go with the six kids. And I've been ordained for the past 12 years. And so the thing is, God's plan is always bigger than our plan. But what you were saying, what made me think of that was when you said we have power, and the power is in what we say. Because, you right. know, a fiery heart of doubt, worry, and fear can come to your mind, but just because it comes to your mind doesn't mean you have to give it power by letting it come out of your mouth. What you have to do when it comes to your mind that my life is hell, you have to reach into what the Bible says, and that it says you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You can do all right. things through through Christ your Lord, right? It's like you've been given life more than abundantly. You don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have to replace all those negative thoughts, all those fiery darts mm-hmm. with what the Word of God says. That's what it means to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, you're transformed as you renew your mind from a right. victim to a victor, because we've been right. called to be more than conquerors through Christ. So when you know the Word, to the extent that you do that, you're doing what we started off with in James 4 when it said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Replace what you think with what the Word says, and then let what the Word says be what comes out of your mouth. And see, people will say, oh, you're crazy. Oh, why do you believe that? Oh, I've heard about what's going to happen to you. I've heard about they're coming after you now. No, you know what they used to say to me? I was working on the biggest project of my life, and these people would come up to me, and they're like, yeah, we had a secret meeting about you. And I was like, it couldn't have been too secret if you're here telling me about it, but okay, what am I supposed to be worried about, right? And they're trying to get you to flinch. And if you just stand mm-hmm. on the promise of God and say, you know what? God gave me this assignment. I can't leave it until it's done. And if you can stop me, right. You must be bigger than God. And see, that right. is a man of God. When God mm-hmm. puts you in that fiery furnace and you come out of it, when you come out of it, mm-hmm. it makes you bolder when you go into your next assignment. But your next assignment is always going to be more difficult than your last assignment. So you have to understand right. that God is requiring you to go from grace to greater grace, from faith right. to greater faith. And the last assignment is not going to be less than your next assignment, because you have more power now. See, I mean, that's right. the whole point. And the devil fleeing from before you is as you resist the devil and you submit yourself to God and humble yourself to God and replace what you think and what you see and what you feel and what you perceive with what the Word of God says, and then do that, right? I'm in the business of putting the devil to shame openly, because the enemies that have come against me and that still try to come against me, they have experienced open failure and open defeat. And they can't explain why they did not prevail, because I was not coming with half of the worldly power they were coming with. But I was coming with all of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ and daring them to try to stop me. And my thing is, right. if they did, it would have been because God let them. But of course, God didn't, because God's all about getting glory when you let him get glory, right? When you're not trying to do it yourself. God has not called us to do it yourself salvation. That's for fools. That's like the guy who stored up his own riches, right? And the problem with storing up your own riches on earth is God says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you're relying on all this stuff, your heart's not in the kingdom. Your heart is serving money, pleasing people. You're always thinking about, oh, what is the interest rate today? How much is in there? How much did I gain? How much did I lose? You're not thinking about God at all. And then what you're doing is you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. And what you have to look forward to when Jesus Christ comes back is a very bad day. A very bad day. I'm sorry, man and God. You're right ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. There's three things that I want to bring out. First thing, and I'm going off a topic here real quick, but to everybody that's listening, tomorrow there will be a part two of this on the summit. The Lord just let me know. So, and I'm asking Bishop Carver to be the guest on the summit tomorrow. He does not know this. He just found out.
My pleasure, man of God.
And let me tell you, we did not plan this. This is something that he did not know. He just found out about it. So,
I'm always available to be led by the Spirit.
And number two, a lot of men, to get back on topic, a lot of men will, you know, they don't like, and I've been there, I've done this, I've even done this, I felt this way before I got married, since I've been married, where somebody will try to, try to help me, and because of me being, I suppose, man, you know, at my age, not the age I am now, but back then, I'd be like, well, I don't need no, I'm like, when I first moved out on my own, I'll give you a good example. When I first moved out on my own, before I moved out, my father told me, Adam, you are not going to be able to go on shopping sprees. Because Lord knows, I love to buy clothes. I love to buy clothes. I don't buy as many clothes as I did before I got married, but I like to buy clothes. And my father told me, he said, Adam, you will not be able to go shopping and all that stuff like you do living on your own, like you do living with us. And I'm sitting here, I'm listening to him, but I'm not listening to him.
Right.
You know how we get that way with God. We'll sit there and we'll be in prayer. We're hearing God, but we're not hearing God.
Right.
You only hear him when he's got something good for us, or when we think that we should, you know or want to hear. Oh, you're going to get that blessing. Okay, God, thank you, Jesus. But when it's get down and pray, we don't want to hear that. Maybe if you wait a while and stick with me, I'll bless you. We don't want to hear that. But in those moments, because I was working on a job. I was working at Kroger one time. And one of my employees, he came to me and asked me out the clear blue sky, why do you serve Jesus? And I told him. I gave him the honest opinion that I could. I said, I serve him. He said, do you serve him because of your parents? Do you serve him because of what you've been taught down through the years? I said, yes and no. I said, it was my mom and my dad that took me to church when I was younger. And yes, they forced me to go because I was living in their house. But it then transferred into a relationship with God. And I knew him for myself.
Right.
And I learned him, and I tasted of him, and I liked what I tasted of him, and I wanted to get closer to that. And so that's why I serve God. Well, he's like, and this man was like, well, I don't need God. Okay, that's good for you. If you don't need God, then that's fine. I'm thinking in my head, you're a fool. But if you don't need God, and I'm just being honest, and I said, well, and I asked him, I said, well, why do you think you don't need God? He said, well, I don't need God because I am a God.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I was like, okay, well, where did it say that in the Bible? Because, I'm trying to figure it out. What scripture? Take me to it because I'm trying to find out. He said, no, it's not found in the Bible. Oh, well, okay. Well, why do you think you're a God? He said, because I got control over my destiny. I got control over my life. You know, I can speak over my own life. You know what? You're right. You're correct. You can speak over your life because God gave us that ability to speak over our life. That does not make you a God. I said, why do you think you're a God? He said, because I got the power to change my destiny and take my destiny forward. Okay. Well, I said, what do you want to do in life? And he told me what he wanted to do in life. And nothing to do with Kroger. I said, if you are a God, why are you working at Kroger? And he looked at me. He said, well, I'm working at Kroger because I need a job. I said, if you were God and you had enough power to, you wouldn't need a job. I said, I don't want to serve a God that's powerless. I said, you need God just as well as I need God, just as well as everybody else needs God. You're human. And us as humans, we need God.
Amen.
We need God. And this man looked at me and said, well, you think you don't need him, you still going to be working at Kroger for the rest of your life. Because where you want to go, only God can take you there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll get you there much faster if you serve him. You'll get there
faster. And I really do want to share this because I think there's a level of humility that we as men really need to begin to embrace. And when we see the things that the Apostle Paul accomplished, right? They were incredible things. Talk about a ministry, right? That was a ministry. Full of power.
Right.
Also, you know, his table was definitely prepared in the presence of his enemies. He went through it for real, right? As he was accomplishing the work. But don't you know what his job was? He was a tent maker. That's how he made his money. And he wasn't afraid to make it. And people needed tents back then. Tents were like a house for a nomad.
Right.
And you did business in your tent. And so it's like, you know, I think so many of us design our lives and define who we are based on what we do for a living. That, you know, whatever job you happen to have, it's just a job. And I think what God wants to be able to do is get us to the point where we have such incredible faith that we learn to do his work first, and then the other stuff we'll do, right? God will help us do that other stuff. What he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? So, I mean, I think we get backwards because we sleep and we dress and we do everything around whatever pays the bills. And God says, no, I need you to be free of that. I need you to seek me first. Do my work first. And then watch me put all this other place. I'm going to give you all that other stuff. I'm going to help you do that work.
Right. And it falls underneath of where we spend so much time doing what the scripture says, that we prosper as our soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
we want to prosper in this life. I understand. You want to be successful. I understand. People want to be successful on their jobs. People want to be successful in life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start taking the success and the job And this is for the men tonight. When you start taking that success in that job and you start putting that success in that job above God, then you have a problem. You have
Amen.
A big problem. And it's not only a big problem, but it's dangerous. It's very
mm-hmm.
dangerous. Because God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And anything
Preach.
You put above God, you are making that your God. I don't care what it is. If it's not pleasing unto God, and just as well as Job said it, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know he was standing on faith when he said that, but that's a true statement.
Amen.
If you put things above God, the job that he blessed you with, the house that he blessed you with, the same way he blessed you with it, is the same way he could take it away from if you put it above God. And we
Amen.
Have so many people that do that, that think, okay, and even in the church, they feel like, well, I'm not going to give God no praise. I'm not going to give the God no glory. I done got what I wanted. Some people do it both ways. When they don't receive something from the Lord, they ready to not give God his praise. They ready to just put God on the back burner. And some of us that are in the body of Christ, when we get that blessing, we tend to put God on the back burner still. We can't
Amen.
Do that. We cannot put. Yes, sir.
Wait. No. We cannot put. Say it.
We cannot put things, our careers, and our agenda above God, because if we do that, we will make those things, those agendas, those things that we need, those things that we want, we will make them out of God, their self.
Amen.
And God told us in his word that he shall have no other gods before him.
Amen.
And you are dang, you are, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm going to read this last portion of scripture, and then I would like
okay.
for you to give an invitation, right? And then
okay.
I'm going to play a parting song. But this is what it talks about being blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these are the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. So I just want to encourage you to think about what it really means to be blessed. Embrace that in the power of the Holy Spirit, and let your purpose be fulfilled in your life so that you can be free and so that you can be prosperous in all that you do. So,
Amen.
Minister Tuggle?
Amen. I want to say tonight to anyone listening on tonight, me and Bishop Carver are in agreement with this. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you do this, which is recorded in Acts 2 and 38, if you repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you shall, and live, and after that live holy, you shall see God. So I'm giving anybody, and I don't beg nobody to do nothing, but I beg you tonight to give your life to Christ tonight.
Amen.
Underneath
and as
2
always,
and 38.
Oh, and as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and every man standing in his place, be ye transformed.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice.
celebrate the awesome God. Oh.